This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around. Earlier today on the Mac and Bone Show.
Draft day around the NFL. Panthers just sitting there first up on the T-box tomorrow. We've got plenty to talk about.
They have a bye. That's how I look at
it. We do. Plenty to talk about. We have reached, by the way, here on the Mac and Bone Show, and I'm surprised it took this long, but we have reached the point, Bone, where people are tired of hearing you and I say certain names for the draft.
Yeah, I got Ricky Pearsall backlash yesterday.
Oh, this it's legit today.
You don't want Pearsall backlash.
This texter says, how many times am I going to freaking have to hear Bone say Leggett's name if he isn't picked tonight? Then you have K-Town.
I shortened it to legs to try to make it different.
Then you got K-Town Mafia. You have to quit saying Wiggins, he says. The Panthers don't draft Clemson players. Never have.
You want us to stop?
What do
you
do? Just knock them all off the board, even though it's a new GM and new coaching staff?
You want us to stop saying players' names of draft prospects. So I hope they take the wideout from South Carolina. Is that better for you there?
Sirs, because it's multiple ones. You just have to make it another couple days. All right? And we'll only talk about the ones that are here with the Carolina Panthers.
Let's just let Jake DeLome talk, and we'll just sit out for a bit.
Yeah, but Jake can get away with bringing up Leggett and Wiggins. You know what I mean? I feel like he's earned that with the fans. We apparently have not. Jake DeLome joining us right now, Panthers legend and one of the voices on the Panthers radio network to talk about what the Panthers might do over the next couple of days. Jake, what's going on, man? How you been?
I'm doing great. It's certainly a lot different than a year ago. A year ago today, I was in Charlotte already for the big party at Bank of America Stadium because we had the first overall pick. And so now we're going to take a little nap on draft night tonight, you know. But that's okay. Listen, that's all right. Listen, it is what it is. We'll know in a couple of years if the right decision was made in regards to Bryce. But, you know, I'm just excited for the draft. I'm one of these nerds. I love it. I love everything about it. I can't wait for tonight. And I mean, my phone's going crazy today, just buddies and ex-players. And, like, we love it. I mean, it's just part of our DNA and the excitement of it. And, you know, I'm excited for these kids, and I'm anxious to see how the draft unfolds. Because I'll be honest, after pick number one, I don't know what's going to happen.
I
think I'm more excited for the theater that goes on and all the jockeying and all the lies that have been told the last month or so.
Do you have a, like, before we talk about the Panthers and wide receivers and all these guys we've been discussing, you know, you're into the draft, I could tell, you know, the way you're talking about it. You play quarterback. Do you have, like, a couple of favorites in this quarterback class, first-round guys?
You know, it's funny. I was talking with Billy Joe Tolliver, longtime player, was one of my mentors early on. I was with him Friday, and he asked me to rank him how I would, and I kind of ranked what I thought, and I really and truly thought Williams was head of the class. I just think the way he can pass the football, I think he's head of the class. The Jaden Daniels, watching him play pretty much every game the last 2 years due to the fact proximity of Baton Rouge and how much, you know, traction that gets, I thought he improved greatly as a passer, but he made SEC defenses look slow when he ran by him this year. That's just unheard of. I'm a big fan of Drake May also. I just think there were some issues this year offensively. I think losing, was it Phil Longo when he lost him after his sophomore year? There's something about May. And if you try to read tea leaves, and I think we all do, I saw a clip from Kevin O'Connell, and he talked about quarterback a play. This was last weekend. And he said something to the effect of, I don't worry about a quarterback's feet. I think that can be coached. And so that's kind of making me think, okay, is this, are they making a push for Drake May? Because, you know, I don't know. The McCarthy kid, that's the wild card to me. I haven't seen enough. I just think he did what he was supposed to do in that offense. Is he most NFL ready? He might be. The way Jim Harbaugh runs his scheme and under center and the shifts, the motions, the timing of motions and things of that nature and recognizing defenses and doing what he wants. Bo Nix, you know, I love his competitiveness. I'm not so sure elite traits, to be quite honest. And the same thing with Penix. I think he has a very strong arm. I think he's wonderfully accurate down the field. Some of the short level stuff. But listen, this is a 30,000 foot view. It's not like I put on all 22 tape and watch that. This is just strictly 30,000 foot view, and that's kind of my take on these guys. And I guess the whole thing with McCarthy, to me, is that C.J. Stroud last year, where was that Georgia game? We saw the Georgia game one time and our jaws dropped, but we didn't see that the rest of the time because he wasn't asked to do that. So the McCarthy deal, what was he asked to do or not to do?
Yeah,
so is there that element? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Jake, one more quarterback question before I get into the Panther prospects and their scenarios. When you're analyzing a quarterback now in 2024, and it's changed a whole lot, even from the middle of your career, the game has changed. What attribute, when you're analyzing a quarterback, are you watching for the most in these young players right now?
I think the biggest thing for me is just the eyes and where does the head go. I want to see, do they look at the rush? Do they keep their eyes downfield? The subtle movements in the pocket. I mean, we all seen Tom Brady's painfully run 40-yard dash at the combine, right?
Yes.
But Tom Brady in the pocket, he was, in my opinion, he was Baryshnikov.
Yep.
The way he just, those subtle movements in the pocket, just those little movements on his feet and things like that. I look at things like that. I saw some flashes from Bryce, and this is not just a typical Panther plug. You saw flashes last year of some of the plays he made, the quick reaction. Just the accuracy of what he can do. I just think we didn't see enough of it, and I think that was a lot of factors that played into that. So I look for just can you recognize what's going on when you don't see a hot? And every now and then you cannot see one, but when you get decapitated because you don't see one, to me that's a feel. You don't feel. There's no innate feelness. I just think you watch some of those things. Those things are just I don't know how much you can coach that. I just think it's natural. Either you have it or you don't.
We're talking with Jake DeLome. You probably know that voice. I probably don't even need to say, Bone, who we're talking to.
Well, I guess so. I'm in Louisiana with a thick accent.
Panther legend with a very identifiable accent.
I didn't think this was John Fox.
Slightly different. So, Jake, we've been spending so much time going over these wide receivers because, hey, we want Bryce to get yet another playmaker. And the class is so good. Like, it looks like such a good group even after the first round. What do you think about this group of receivers? And do you have one that you think, like, would really fit the most with the Panthers?
Yeah, one that gets open, catches the football, and makes plays. Steve Smith was a third-round pick. I'm sorry. He was never not explosive. He came out the womb explosive. That's kind of in, like, his punt return skill. So, you don't know. I mean, Puka Nacua, what, he ran a 4.59 or 4.640, and nobody could cover him that last year. So, look, we don't know. I love some of these guys. The neighbor's kid, I've been watching him since high school. He's from Lafayette, where I'm from, and so I've been watching him since high school. Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't know if much more needs to be said. The Dunze kid. But there's so many, and you hear it deep, but I'm assuming you might have seen the stat that was put up yesterday somewhere along one of these platforms about the bust rate.
Yeah.
The second contract deal, it's amazing. What was it? Almost 75% of the receivers didn't get a second contract, the first-round guy?
Yeah, it was only 27% of, and I forget the amount of years. This was from Hembo, who's one of the big researchers for Mike Greenberg at ESPN. It's only 27% of players got a second contract that were first-round wide receivers. So that is like, that's the riskiest early draft position, I guess.
Okay, so who's the two best receivers we've seen in a Panther uniform? In my opinion, I play with both of them.
Yeah.
One's a third rounder, and one was a second rounder.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, and I'm not to say, like, DJ Moore, where was DJ taken? Was he late? Was
late 18 first.
Or, late first, yeah. Yeah. I thought he was an excellent wide receiver. So we'll see. I like a lot of them. Yes, you hear about the Leggett kid and things like that, and I know a lot's being made. They said they were going to take me, and, well, everybody I've ever talked to that has been drafted, I wouldn't know because I wasn't, but they always thought, wow, I thought I was going here. They told me. I mean, I think Canales said it yesterday. That's how you kind of start a conversation sometimes, and you just kind of get the feel. So we'll see. I'm a big fan of the kid from Florida State. I like Keon Coleman. Again, straight homer talk here. I watched him since high school. He's from my neck of the woods. I know he didn't run that that great, but didn't he have the fastest, wasn't it 22 miles an hour last year or something? He had one of the fastest times recorded. I don't know. I just, big playmaker, can go and attack the ball. The kid from Texas, the burner. He's I don't think he's a track guy. I think he's a football player that could run track. I think that's a big difference. You have a track guy that tries to play football, or you have a football player that can run track. I think he's a football player because he's a really good returner. Now, do those guys get there? I mean, I don't know. You know, we don't know how it's going to shake out, what happens. And I'm assuming we stay put. I would be shocked if we go in the first round. But if we have somebody rated extremely high, then we move in. But I could see us staying there. And you know, what if there's a three or four guys we love that's available after tonight, and we have the 39th pick, and the team is dying for someone, and they come up, and we gain an extra second next year or an extra fourth this year, whatever it may be. Let's just let it play out, and hopefully, you know, Dan can hit it. I feel confident in a lot of the guys he signed this offseason. That's very encouraging to me. Love the two big guys that he signed up front with Corbett back. I like what we're doing. I like that Deontay Johnson, and I think a lot's being made of, you know, the Pittsburgh situation. But, look, it is what it is. I think Canales knows how to get people the football, and I think Bryce is unbelievably accurate. I saw it with my own eyes when he does have some time. So we'll see. It's I'm excited. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not poo-pooing this season like you kind of hear some of these pundits say. And I will admit, I'm throwing them under the bus. Luke and I talk a great deal about it. We're quietly optimistic about going into this season. Last year, rookie quarterback, I thought we would stick hopefully 7-win team. Did not think we would have two. This has a different feel and smell to it. I'll be very honest with you. I think it does. I've been told it kind of does feel that way. And look, let's hope we hit on the draft. Let's hope we can hit, and Dan can hit a couple of guys and find a Chris Jenkins, find a Steve Smith, find a Will Witherspoon, find a Ricky Manning Jr. You know, find some of those guys that's not first-round picks that made a tremendous impact. Mike Rucker, Mike Minner. I mean, look, they're there. Those guys are there.
You mentioned in passing Deontay Johnson, and we see from where we sit the term route running with Deontay Johnson, one of the best in the league in Pittsburgh at running routes. How important is that attribute of what he's good at, route running, going to be for the progression of Bryce Young?
Well, listen, I think he can get separation. I'm a big – Steve Smith was the greatest separator I've ever seen in my life when he can get separation from somebody. And I think Bryce has unbelievable anticipatory skills. I saw it with my own eyes last year, and I think his innate accuracy, especially kind of in that short area type region, I think he's extremely, you know, balanced in his feet and can kind of get his hips flipped real quick and get the ball out. So I think that's going to help tremendously. And just watching what Canales did with some of the receivers in Tampa last year, Trey Palmer, rookie wide receiver from Nebraska via LSU, you know, he had an impact. Mike Evans, certainly he's going to show up. But he took a little bit with Chris Godwin, and as they went along, he got a little better. But I think Canales does a really good job. And think about it, his history, it comes in all shapes and sizes, from the DK Metcalf to the Lockett. You know, so it can kind of come in all shapes and sizes. There's not one particular type mold that he's kind of looking for. So, you know, hopefully we can add another playmaker, and because you can't have enough of those in the NFL. And Adam Thielen, I think, was phenomenal last year. I think he kind of went above and beyond what anyone ever thought. I'll be honest with you. I hope he doesn't catch 100 passes this year. I hope he catches 75. And we have other guys that have 90 and things like that. I mean, I hope it's more of a collective group, to be quite honest, because he was our money guy last year, if there ever was such.
All right, Jake. Hey, it's great to catch up with you, man. I can tell you're cranked up about this draft the way we are. Appreciate you as always, and we'll talk to you once the season gets closer, man. Thanks so much.
Jake.
Hey, man. Thank you all very much. Have a great day.
All right, be good. There you go. That is Jake Delhomme, your Carolina Panthers. Bone and I looked at each other. We made eye contact when Jake Delhomme says he and Luke are talking amongst themselves about this team.
I would love to be part of that group chat.
Last year, they thought, hey, 6 or 7 win team, and they weren't right. But this team has a different feel, Jake says, Bone. Is that going to – do we have to bring back the 10-win wagon? Is Jake trying to tempt us to go into the garage and get that 10-win wagon running again?
It felt like he knew. He knew. He knew that you and I have taken a step back and analyzed this from a – measured, rational view. But he also knows that if Luke Kuechly's involved in this whole thing.
Yeah. They both know their football.
I'm staying strong. I'm much like not trading up. I'm not moving right now.
What do they know, Bone? What do they know that's different? Is there something that I'm missing out on?
Now
I need... Is this the season I should be panthering up and I'm missing something? I feel like they were leaving. Yeah, you leave a little trail for someone to follow. I feel like he's leaving a little trail of breadcrumbs there for us to get to our 10-win wagon.
You can't let Luke down.
What does Luke and Jake know?
And what,
I need to go ask Zoki what's going on over there on the radio network.
I believe Zoke's got him at 15 wins. I believe that's a standing number. Luke's a big film maven. What film could he possibly be watching, Bone, to be optimistic? I got to be honest. What film is he viewing?
I'm putting out some feelers right now on people that I know that know Luke and what Luke knows.
Yeah.
Does Luke know?
Find out, is there something that we're missing, man?
I just hit a sound effect there because it said Luke. That was Luke Combs who said,
there you go.
Apparently Luke Combs watching Bryce.
And we know he's not optimistic about the Panthers. No. We heard his takes.
Yeah, Jake's not talking to Luke Combs about this team.
Luke Combs got us with -3 wins this season the way he was talking. All right. So Jake's input there was great. But I promise this to the people, a lot of people out there, a lot of people are saying, Bone, a lot of people are saying, on the text line that they would like to hear from Howie Quackenbush. See, some people know that Howie Quackenbush is a guy, Bone, that really, along with Mel Kiper Jr., started the profession of the draft analyst. And we have him every now and then, he'll hit us with some exclusive content, Bone, just for us.
Interesting.
Right? So listen to him. I just want people to know.
One of the pioneers of the industry.
He is. And he also, I'm not the only one that really loves Ladd McConkey. These are some strong words from veteran draft analyst Howie Quackenbush about Ladd. Listen to this.
If you could get Ladd McConkey with the first pick of the second round, it's a steal. Ladd McConkey should be the first pick overall in this draft.
Stephen Hawking.
Ladd McConkey is a compilation of the greatest receivers ever. He has the route running of Jerry Rice. He has the hands of Biletnikoff with two vats of Stick'Em all over those mitts. He has the speed of a track star like Carl Lewis or Jesse Owens. He is the fastest white human being ever to run. The only white thing I've seen this fast is one of Steve McQueen's sports cars from one of his classic films. Ladd McConkey is going to be a superstar.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I wish I could have explained Ladd McConkey the way Howie Quackenbush did, man. He's a poet, that guy.
He is amazing. By the way, he really loves to enunciate, doesn't he?
We got Biletnikoff.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Instant replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. This afternoon on the Wes and Walker Show.
Wes and Walker Sports Radio talking NFL draft first round tonight. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. And you can text in, as always, on the FanDuel text line, 704-570-9610. Lots of support for the Carolina Hurricanes. Panthers fans telling you that they're not going to watch the first round. They don't have a pick. And the Canes are on, so they're watching hockey tonight.
Okay.
Big Cat Dan tells you, I'll have the same setup, Wes. That YouTube TV quad box is elite.
Big time, man. One of the best things they could have ever done.
Many people going to be rolling with that. We also asked how you were going to be spending your first round NFL draft night. Thick Doink has a great plan. He says, just going to drink and eat wings, watching Mitchell fall to us at 33 or Kool-Aid McKinstry. A.D. Mitchell, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
It's a lot of people are taking him off their boards.
Kool-Aid, why is that?
No, A.D. Mitchell.
Yeah, I did see that. I don't know if that would be perfect for Carolina if they really like him, because he's got a lot of ability. We know about that. But
no, I don't want the athletes with the caveats. No more in the Queen City.
It's not a terrible caveat, though. It's not the worst. All right. You know, Wes, it was squeaky clean. That's what kind of prospect you want.
Then you can get dirty.
704, last question before we get to the draft day, Dubs. He says, have you guys heard anything about the Vikings packaging a bunch of picks to the Chargers for Justin Herbert? Mm-hmm. I have heard this, but the thing about it, Adam Schefter is putting this to rest pretty hardcore, because he's saying, look, guys, you have to understand, the Chargers would be paying a bajillion dollars in dead cap after just signing Justin Herbert to the richest QB contract in history, or certainly one of them. So they'd be paying, after they paid him, they'd be paying dead cap in all of that money just to send him to Minnesota for how many, I guess, a few draft picks and then not have a QB anymore?
Where does dead cap money go?
Well, it's just dead cap going to Justin Herbert. The Chargers are paying him
for his salary that you would be responsible for paying.
Yeah, you're just paying him to not play for you.
Gotcha.
The Carolina, very well versed in dead cap. Yeah. They were one of the lead. They still might be. I know they were the league leaders for a while, and that Matt Khalil contract certainly did not help them. But Adam Schefter is telling you, because we've seen the odds shift on that possibility, and Adam's saying, hey, guys, save your money. This is stupid. You're just might as well light it on fire. It's not going to happen. The Chargers are not going to trade Justin Herbert. So I was listening to some more NFL fodder. Like, if you're Chicago or if you are Washington or whoever, if Jim Harbaugh really does think that, okay, J.J. McCarthy is this elite quarterback prospect, then try him out. Give him a call. Yeah. Hey, one for Herbert. You get Caleb Williams, we get Herbert straight up. What you got? If you're Washington, hey, two for Herbert, maybe some sweetener, straight up, what you got? And then, of course, Harbaugh is going to say no, and then you're going to move on. But might as well give him a call if it's Justin Herbert. So, go see some fun stuff tonight. All right, draft day Dubs, let's get to it. The who, the what, the where, the when, the why. Wes, I'll lead off with you because you have a player here that is currently with the San Francisco 49ers that possibly after tonight could be playing with a different team. Mm-hmm. Who will be the already rostered player most likely to be traded? Adam Schefter reporting yesterday, Trey Hendrickson requested a trade. T. Higgins doing the same thing, so a couple of Bengals there. But also we know that we still have a contract dispute between San Francisco and Brandon Ayuk. So who is that already rostered
player? I think it's going to be T. Higgins. T. Higgins, I feel like that all the momentum has been going towards this for quite some time. They've got to pay Jamar Chase, amongst others, and Trey Hendrickson. He's another guy that's going to command a high salary. I think he probably stays. 17.5 sacks, I would think you would want that. And Cincinnati, though, has had a bad reputation of being cheap. They did pay Joe Burrow, of course, but maybe they feel like that Joe Burrow is all they need, and then they'll keep Jamar Chase. So T. Higgins, to me, would be the odd man out there. I do think they get something done with Trey Hendrickson. Brandon Ayuk, the 49ers have been through this with players before. They went through the same thing with Debo, and it got contentious, and it was, oh, Debo's going to be gone and things of that nature. So I don't see Ayuk going anywhere, at least for next season. And T. Higgins is my selection.
Yeah, I agree with you on Brandon Ayuk. I think he's too important. Is breakout season fair for Ayuk?
No, it was.
You think so? So yeah. He was already good, but then he went to an elite level this year. But I think it's very real. That guy, as much as we talk about Deontay Johnson getting open more than any receiver the last 3 years, that was Ayuk last year. Number one rated open receiver. Separation, plus with that size, plus with that explosion, plus with that kind of physicality that he can bring stretching the field. Ayuk is a all-pro level receiver, and he matters a lot to their ability to stretch the field. It's just not quite Debo's game. It's not, you know, George Kittle can, I guess, as a tight end, but McCaffrey, Debo working intermediate routes, I think they value Ayuk too much, and I think they would pay him close to $30 million a year. I think that'd be a mistake if they traded him. I do think T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson, it's kind of a toss-up. I'll go Hendrickson. The only reason I think Hendrickson would be the guy, it feels like we blew up, and when there's a tantrum, that might grease the wheels on a trade happening. This has been slowly building with T. Higgins. But with Trey Hendrickson, I also think that there's a deal that could most likely happen with him because it's easier to get one done. With T. Higgins, it seems like there's still questions about how he would play without Joe Burrow. And I don't subscribe to that, just to be clear. I think T. Higgins is a really good receiver that is worth being a number one. But I think with Hendrickson, that guy had 17 sacks last year. He's been a stud for a while with two different teams. I don't think that it would cost as much to get Hendrickson as it would with T. Higgins. So I'm going to go Hendrickson. It's toss-up, though. That one's tough. Maybe it would. I think it'll be a Bengal as well. The what, after we move on from the who, what will be the biggest surprise of the first round? My biggest surprise, I think Brian Mitchell falling. I've just seen it too many times. Brian Mitchell, the wide receiver out of LSU, crazy explosive, crazy big, all of the athleticism, big time contributor in the red zone also. But the agility isn't quite as there, and I think that scares teams. I'm questioning if we see some kind of DK Metcalf fall, where the 40 is ridiculous, but the agility isn't there as much. And what's his route tree look like? If you like route trees, then there might be some other receivers that you would choose. Xavier Worthy, proving that he's not just this John Ross that can only run the go, but he's got a little more wiggle to his game. He can work intermediate and short areas of the field. And then, okay, Ladd McConkey, everybody lauds his route running. Xavier Leggett has been very much a part of the conversation as to the surprise pick that jumps into the first round, so that's possible. It feels like there's enough around everybody else, Wes, that maybe Brian Mitchell continues to fall. And if he's there at 33 for Carolina, I don't think it happens, but if he's there at 33 for Carolina, whew, I mean, that would be enticing. So falling for Brian Mitchell after so many months of him being a top 20 pick, maybe he does get to that 33 overall selection. I would say that's something to watch for.
I would say the biggest surprise to me is I think Michael Penix will end up going in the top 10. I think somebody will either trade into it or there will be somebody that will select him in that range. I just think everything, the letter that he wrote and all of the things that he has going for him at this point, I'm not sure as to why he hasn't been talked about that way. I know the injuries, but he is a quarterback, and this isn't a guy that his game is built on mobility, even though he did show during his pro day that he could run in a 4-5 range. But Michael Penix going in the top 10 of this and maybe throwing a monkey wrench into the quarterback order is where I'm at.
I'm sorry to the people. Brian Thomas. Yes, everybody texting me saying, who in the hell is Brian Mitchell? I do not know.
You were thinking about the old kick returner back in the day for the Redskins.
I was thinking of that Brian Mitchell. Or everybody is on me. Nice job, everyone. But yes, it's Brian Thomas. And I think I lumped A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas together. But Brian Thomas is the guy I mean. Absolutely. That is the guy that could possibly fall to Carolina. And if he does, then maybe, maybe that would be their selection. Next up, who, what? Now we get to the where. Where will we see the pick that defines the first round? Mm. The classic question, when does it really start? What are we going to be talking about the most tomorrow? What is that move to you, Wes? Is there something that comes to mind?
I think it's certainly the second pick with Washington, because depending on which quarterback they pick, there's always going to be the what-ifs depending on how that goes down. Do they go with Jaden Daniels, even though things don't seem to be as great between those two as we once thought it was? Also, too, that could be a spot for a trade, even though I don't think Washington will trade out of the second pick. They need a quarterback too bad. So that's the thing, is which quarterback are they going to take? Because I think with Washington, we've seen three different quarterbacks linked with them. We've seen Jaden Daniels, which seems to be the strongest candidate, but Drake May and J.J. McCarthy also is another guy that they have said that the Commanders really, really like as well. So I think the draft starts at two with the Commanders and what they decide to do.
No, I agree with that. Brian also on the text line saying, Brian Mitchell sounds a lot like BPA to me. Yeah. Best player available. He does. A made-up player that sounds like he'd be a boss. Absolutely. So I think you're right. I'll give you a different answer just for the sake of difference, but I'm really interested to see what the Chargers do at five. NFL Draft Twitter is kind of running around in circles with all these mocks having J.C. Latham, the Alabama tackle, go to the Chargers, and lots of NFL draft analysts don't love it with what they would do there. but it feels like that might be something Jim Harbaugh does at number five, drafting another strong offensive lineman, or maybe they could trade back. I think the Chargers at five, that's going to be fascinating. I think Arizona's probably going to select Marvin Harrison at four, even though they're a trade back candidate too. And then if you're the Chargers, trade back candidate, lots of holes on that roster, like three guys that are signed through 2026, and that's it. You have Herbert, and then you have Will Disley, and then you have somebody else. They have a lot of work to do to improve that roster. So if the Chargers trade back, do they select one of the stud wide receivers? Like, is Neighbors actually going to fall to a point where the Giants, the Titans, are the Falcons going to do this again, where they select a skill position for the fourth straight year in the first round? The Chargers going to be very interesting to see what they do, because they'll dictate a lot of how this draft goes, even after the quarterbacks are done within the first four picks, and then we get Penix and Bo Nix and whatnot. When will we see the first trade? Yeah, I think this is where we go to three, and I don't think New England takes Drake May, even if I do think that they'd be interested in a quarterback. I think the New England Patriots are going to be enticed so much by a package Minnesota is willing to deal to New England that they eventually take that. And you might think, okay, well, why haven't they agreed to this trade yet? Well, I think maybe there's just other people that are trying to get in on the number three overall pick for Drake May. And I think Minnesota would be desperate enough, because they've leaked it this entire time. Everybody in the world knows Minnesota wants to move up and get a QB. They are going to select a QB at number 11 if they don't move up. So if they want the guy with all of the high upside that Drake May brings, there's been some rumors about them being really interested in Drake. The only reason I think that there hasn't been a trade done yet is because New England might just be squeezing everybody for what they're worth. Okay, Denver, you want to move up for a QB? Cool. What kind of draft compensation are you willing to give us? Even if they gave up a decent amount in that Russell Wilson trade. Okay, if you're talking about a Las Vegas, where Las Vegas might want to move up and go get, I don't know, could it be Jaden Daniels? Because Antonio Pierce was on the Arizona State staff when Jaden Daniels was there and Herm Edwards was the coach. So maybe if Drake May is that number two overall pick, Las Vegas gets the green light and they're like, all right, let's climb the ladder, give him everything because we want our new quarterback. That trade at three or two, I think that's when we start to see our first real trade with Minnesota and maybe a couple of those other teams being in the supplement.
Yeah, that's the perfect spot. And again, for the sake of variance in answers, man, I would go five with the Chargers, because I think that if Arizona, they would have been the team I would have pinpointed, but I can't see them passing up an opportunity to get Harrison or Neighbors as well, because you see a lot of people now that rank him as the top guy out there. So if they go with wide receiver right there and stand pat, I think the Chargers don't make the move to get rid of Herbert. And I think that's a spot somebody could feel like they could grab one of those quarterbacks up there. Somebody could want Penix. Somebody could want McCarthy. And I think that Harbaugh at this point, talking about that roster, deconstruction and reconstructing it, he can probably get a couple of extra picks to bring in some guys, because we know how many big money players they've got in L.A. so that they can get in some cheaper talent that could possibly turn into dividends for them as far as being productive players.
Yeah, I mean, I see so many teams. I didn't even talk about New York at six. Are they sweating it to the point where they would want to move up and go get Drake May? I know Dan Orlovsky's been a big fan of that move. Hey, just go up a couple spots, get your QB, stop this Daniel Jones nonsense, and see what you can do with somebody like May at the helm. This draft is going to be as wild as one as we've seen in a while. I know what people, when that happens, when we talk about it that way, it usually ends up pretty chalky. Feels like there's too many variables at hand, especially with the talent at QB. Last one, why? Why will Panthers fans be happy after tonight without them having selected, at least as currently scheduled, without them selecting at all? Why will Panthers fans be happy after the first 32 picks are over and done?
Because, like I said, the uncertainty of this draft is going to have them sitting with some players that they did not know would be there at 33. So they're going to have some decisions to make and sleep on, because, as I've said, there's going to be 3 to 4 teams that are going to pick players that nobody thought that they would in the first round. And so then that's going to cause other players to drop. And so I think the Panthers are going to be sitting there faced with either an unbelievable trade opportunity, because there are going to be teams that covet the players, player or players that do drop, or they just have some guys sitting there that they are like, oh, I didn't know he was going to be sitting here looking us in the face on day two.
There's so much talent in this draft at positions specifically where Carolina needs that talent. If you do not have a first round pick, I've said it a million times, this is the class to not have a first round pick. I'm feeling very good. So if we go back to last year, you make that trade for Bryce Young. I wanted a QB last year. It hasn't worked out yet. So in hindsight, you might want the pick and take your quarterback this year compared to what last year was. But I wanted a QB, so I'm not going to speak out of both sides of my mouth. Like, I was cool with moving up to get Bryce Young. I'm glad they went, got their own guy, so they could live or die knowing they made their own decision. And if you're going to do that, then Carolina was never going to have their first round pick. They were always going to have to trade 2024 first. And it sucks. I'd love to have a top 32 selection. I thought they'd be picking anywhere like between 10 or 17, and you're missing out on some good players. But if you're going to pick a class to not have a first in, and you weren't going to select a QB in that range anyway, anywhere from 10 to 17, I don't think they would take McCarthy over, like maybe Drake May or Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams. But if you were thinking 10 or 17, and then J.J. McCarthy, Penix, Bo Nix area, then they weren't going to select that QB over Bryce Young. This is the class not to have it. There's going to be a lot of talent at 33, whether you're talking about interior offensive linemen falling, whether you're talking about a Brian Thomas falling, A.D. Mitchell, maybe you're cool. You've already met with him. You actually do think his character is going to be fine. You select him at 33. McConkie, Leggett, Jackson Powers Johnson. There's so many guys that I would be excited about that I know some of them are going to be there. You're going to have your pick, and then you can even trade back. There's still going to be a lot of talent, and there's still going to be so many options. And that's why Carolina fans should feel good about what's going to happen after the first round.
You can hear Wes and Walker live and local every weekday afternoon from noon to 3. Sit tight and stay locked, because Instant Replay continues next. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. Earlier this afternoon on the Kyle Bailey Show.
Right now, we welcome back former Carolina safety turned Carolina safety. All ACC in Chapel Hill, member of Thieves Avenue with your Carolina Panthers in the 2015 run to the Super Bowl, and a man you can see on the Weather Channel. Fast Home Rescue. He's got 5 days alongside his wife to renovate and flip homes. It is a great show, and we have Trey Boston with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Brother, it is good to have you back, man. How you been?
Man, I've been good, man. How have you been, Kyle?
I've been good. I've been good. And for not to put anybody's business on Front Street, but I showed up at Roman Harper's place last week to record a podcast. I walked in the front door. The last thing I'm expecting to see is Trey Boston standing there. But there he is. And, and brother, you look like you could still play. You look like you're swinging a sledgehammer on set a couple times a week.
Oh, come on, man. You already know what time it is, man. Of course, I got to link up with my uncle to see how, you know, life's been. Check on the kids and life. And then on top of that, man, you know, just looking the part. One thing about it, you know, we don't stop grinding. So got to continue to look good.
Good for you. No, and I love it, man. As somebody who considers myself a bit of a DIY dad, I like to do work around the house. When I found out what you were doing a while back, I thought it was the coolest thing. And I don't think you and I have talked about this on the air. And for those that don't know, again, you can watch Fast Home Rescue on the Weather Channel. It's really, really cool, especially if you're into renos and house flips and things like that. Have you always been into this, or is this something that came on in the last couple of years?
I can say it's something I've done with my foundation, and one thing about it is I just got a chance to do it on a bigger spectrum and a little faster than we normally do jobs.
Yeah.
Like you explained already, doing it in 5 days, I never imagined doing stuff that fast, but it's a privilege and it's a blessing, because you literally see family after family, week after week, you see change. So it's pretty neat, for real.
That's amazing. All right, well, 10 years ago, almost, you heard your name called on draft night, and tonight the NFL draft. Do you still get amped for this event every year?
I wouldn't say amped. I think I get it's like that father role or that uncle role now, where it's like I'm excited for kids to be able to live their dreams. That's the cool part. When you throw in the draft, you can remember, like, as a high schooler or college guy, when you saw that, you were like, okay, I got to get it. So for the next month and a half, you're like, oh, I'm going super hard, because you remember watching the draft. And then all of a sudden, the next few months, guys fizzle off. But the guys who it means something to, they keep it well with them. And then those are the things I remember watching the draft, having fun, knowing that one day your name could get called with hard work. And now, you know, you're literally looking at guys who, again, could be little brothers, little nephews out there, guys who I've seen run around in Pop Warner, and now making it to the league where you've been. So it's a blessing to see these guys all just live the dream and be able to hear the name called.
Well said. All right, so you're a favorite among Panthers fans on Twitter. You still care deeply about Carolina. You watch the team.
Of course. You
provide commentary on Twitter. You're brutally honest when you need to be. And so you're in tune watching this team. They're coming off a 2-15, Trey. And yeah. So they're really, when you're a 2-15 team, pretty much everything is up for being changed and swapped and everything else. Let's start with free agency. They spent a lot of money on the offensive and defensive lines. They traded for Deontay Johnson. They brought in a bunch of Vajiro Evero's guys from previous stops. I mean, just in terms of what they did to spend money to set up for the draft this weekend, what do you think about the additions they've made?
I thought they did a good job. Dan Morgan and Coach Canales said they were going to come in and change it up. They needed dogs, and that's what they went out and got. They showed y'all that, hey, we're going to go get veterans who know how to get the job done on Sundays, and we're going to set ourselves up to draft some guys who don't have to be day one starters, but hey, if we draft well, they can be day one starters. And then that's a process of, you know, knowing your style of draft to your schemes. And I think they're dialing in right now. So I look forward to seeing what they're going to do. Obviously tonight, you know, we don't think they'll move up into the first, but hey, maybe they will. But if they stay back, I think something you said earlier is you get to sit back and say, okay, how does the dice roll out? Okay, who's our guy? We're going after him. Oh, and we got a pick 39, a few picks after that. We can pick two steals that, you know, guys in the first round. Some are going to drop to the second that had first round grades. Can you go get the steals around there?
And they're in a great position to do it. Now, they've also been charged with, you know, further weaponizing the offense and basically giving Bryce Young more support and more help on the outside. Is 33, assuming they stay there, if they stay at 33, it really both those picks, does 33 have to be a wide receiver in your mind?
It's tough to say have to be, because I remember coming off of 2014 season, we went and drafted Shaq Thompson at linebacker, knowing we had Luke, TD, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, we needed a linebacker out of all the positions we need? So you never know what you're going to get, because sometimes you're looking for best available. It was literally, we saw Shaq line up the very first practice, and everybody knew, oh, okay, that's why they drafted Shaq Thompson. So you never know what can happen. I think all of us collectively are thinking, go get that big wide receiver who can be that comfort blanket when you need to throw it up or make those big plays, because you got a guy in, Deontay Jackson or Johnson, who's going to move around and be your key guy. But with him feeling, go get a big guy who you can throw the ball up to, make some splash plays in the red zone.
Well, and then, okay, because I'm with you, I think 33, you're ripe for a wide receiver. 39 is, I think, where the conversation gets most interesting for us and the fan base here on the text line, let's say, because, you know, I'm a big, you know, offensive line guy at 39. I think maybe draft your center of the future. Others would say, no, you might want to look to the secondary if there's a corner available. If you take stock of the secondary right now, I like what they did in bringing in Dane Jackson from Buffalo. I like that they brought Troy Hill back, but I still don't think you can say you've got a starting cornerback opposite of J.C. Horn right now, who's got his own injury history to deal with. So how tempted are you as a former member of the secondary to take a cornerback there at 39?
I mean, absolutely. How you're explaining it is very well, because do you have a guy day one across from Horn who you feel comfortable with Horn giving you all 17 games, and having a guy on the other side of him? Second round, 39th could be that pick, but I'm not mad at offensive line either, because as long as you can keep Bryce up, we won't keep having the same conversations over and over and over. Maybe that's in the middle of the season, trading and going to get you a number two corner. But that 39th pick can be a special young man. You just have to find out who is. I'm a best available type draft guy. If I know there's a guy who can mess around and change my team in the next 3 to 5 years, 2 to 5 years, I think you got to go get him. And if somebody's at the O-line or corner, I think those are the two positions you want to snatch up.
Trey Boston, former Carolina Panther and UNC safety, with us here on the Bodyworks Plus guest hotline. What are your vibes around actually, you know what? I got to ask you this. You mentioned Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Again, you're an honest guy. Year one was rough for a lot of different reasons. Are you a believer in Bryce? Give me just your year one thoughts on Bryce going into year two. Do you still think he's got it?
All right, Kyle. You know I'm a shooter straight.
Yes.
I really like Bryce Young. I really do. I find myself, I never played with Bryce. So I find myself, like, having to be the fanboy for him and pitch a tent like, no, Bryce Young is like that. Like, Bryce Young is good. So for me, I like him. I think he has the tangibles. I think he's a smart young man. I love the way he carries himself off the field. I think any quarterback, even the veterans, if you do not protect the veteran quarterbacks, let alone a rookie quarterback starting day one, what are you asking for, really? It doesn't matter what anybody else does. Doesn't matter how good your defense is. If you're not protecting your quarterback, nothing's going to go your way. So for Bryce Young, to what I love most watching the young man is when it came to press conferences right after games, knowing he's taking sacks, knowing he's getting knocked down, knowing sometimes he's not making great throws, he would always take accountability. He would never point the finger. He would always make sure that y'all knew it was on him. He has to do better. And accountability at a young age is hard to take. So to watch him do that while knowing his mindset and how hard he works, I still think you give this young man every bit of praise and trust of changing this team around, because at the end of the day, I mean, it's year two. It's year two. Are we really at the point where we are throwing away guys' careers year two and acting like, oh, they're bust? Year two. It just makes no sense to me. It makes all sense in the world to be positive, roll with them, support people, and allow them to blossom, because they knew they had the support from everybody around them. And that's what it's about. It's about making sure people know that, hey, you are like that. Don't let last year define you, but also take the lesson from last year's losses and continue to grow. And you can grow into something beautiful.
All right,
and that's what I hope Bryce Young grows into.
Sorry about that. I love it. Now, two quick things. I'll let you go. I want to let you get back to your day here. But I think it's safe to say that Dave Canales has a very different personality than some of the guys you played for, certainly different than Ron Rivera. Younger guy, energetic, does a lot of talking, not afraid to get on Twitter and, you know, mix it up a little bit. I know you're not playing for him and you're busy with other things, but what are your vibes of Dave Canales? What do you think of this guy?
No, man, I think he, from what I'm hearing and what I've seen, and even the social media stuff, it's small, but it's big at the same time, you know what I mean? And his life story, I think he's the right guy. People holler about, oh, X's and O's. Like, I've heard coaches talk to me about his X's and O's. They like it. They love his game plan. They love how he coaches. But for me, it's an integrity of a man. It's can a man be a leader? And when you have teams like this who bring in guys, I mean, pretty much from everywhere. I mean, we're trying to mix this all back together and get it going again. When you have guys from everywhere, man, you got to know how to bring them together as one. And being young, it's the name of the game, man. The game has changed. The game has changed so much from even the early 2000s to even 2010, 14. The game is different. And you need coaches like that. You need guys younger. You need guys who can appeal to these young men a little bit more and have grace for them in different sections. Because all that hardball coaching, it just doesn't – it's a different day and age, and whether it's good or bad. And I think he's the perfect set to change this team around. You know, if we're going to move forward, I think he gives this team and the guys around him the best chance to succeed.
All right, last thing. I got to get your thoughts on your guy, Drake May. His lead up to the draft has been fascinating to watch, because I've been on record for a while now, right or wrong. I've said I think he's the most talented quarterback in the draft, personally. Now, that said, I mean, seeing some of the split opinions on him and the way people have talked about him, guys like Merrill Hodge in particular, the last several weeks has been pretty wild to watch. It seems like I think he goes number three tonight to New England, but there are some folks thinking he might not go that. Like, what do you think of Drake and the way that he's been discussed and, you know, his skill set at the NFL level?
I think the skill set, I feel like everybody knows, like,
the ceiling is the roof, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's beyond. And for, I think the people who are watching and doubting him, I think sometimes it comes to mechanics and decision making, but I feel like there's a set of people who said the very things about, you know, I hate to say this, Patrick Mahomes in college. And I'm not saying they are the same player at all, but it's just you're going to hear different things from different sides. Merrill Hodge is one of the few, the very few who I respect when it comes to their evaluation. And to see him kind of say the things he said, it's a little telling. You know, it's one of those things where I know Drake should easily be in this first round, but this is a young man who I believe it's about systems. If Drake can find himself in a system that fits perfectly for him, he can blossom. O-line's there. He can be a guy. I mean, we talk about comparing him to Justin Herbert. Well, he's a guy. I mean, I know he's had his shine, and there's been his bottoms and his tops. And, you know, for me, Drake may can have those same. It just depends on where does he go, how comfortable is he in the system, do they let it rip and let him just air the ball out, or do they contain him? It's just all of it goes together, but I think Drake May is a prospect. I mean, he's going to be one of the, I think, 5 to 10 names, and when you're talking about in the next 6 to 10 years of those next elite quarterbacks, I think he sits right among them in a few years.
Love it. Trey Boston, former Carolina Panthers safety, all ACC safety in Chapel Hill, and watch his show on the Weather Channel, Fast Home Rescue. It's a great watch. Can't recommend it highly enough. Trey, it was great to see you, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
I appreciate you, Kyle, man. You have a good one, boss man.
You've tuned in to Instant Replay. When the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.